Welcome to the sixth episode of the Slappy Boys podcast. I'm your host, A.A. Ron. It's been a minute since we've done an episode, first episode here on the Anchor podcast app. I believe this is going to go on Apple Podcasts. I don't really know. Can't remember. But anyways, yeah, you know, work and conflicting schedules have, and actually kind of conflicting things with platforms, because I really don't feel like paying for SoundCloud, so I couldn't upload podcast episodes there anymore. So shout out to Anchor. This is our first episode here. The boy Tim will hopefully be here next episode, but I just figured that I would do something a little bit off the dome here just for episode 6, go fly solo dolo again. Shout out to Kid Cudi. And just a quick disclaimer, I'm not going to fact check anything for this episode because it's already 11 o'clock at night and I'm just staring at podcast notes. So shout out to Michael Rappaport, shout out to G Moody, whose last name rhymes with Duty. I just love saying that, I think it's hilarious. And shout out to the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast. Check that John out. That John actually goes pretty hard. They got mad interviews with former players and all that shit. Former NBA players. Pretty much anybody you could think of. I don't know why I talked about Michael Rappaport so much. Let's get into the podcast. We're going to talk about the NBA Conference Finals. And a little bit about LeBron James. This should be fun. The Boston Celtics are currently up 2-0 on LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers. They are headed to Quick Loans Arena in Cleveland, Ohio to probably lose at least one, if not both, of the games in Cleveland before going back to TD Garden in Boston. I was recording this podcast earlier in the week, but I decided to scrap it and then just record this real quick. In that recording, I said Boston in 6 and Golden State in 7 for the Western Conference Finals. And then, no matter what, Golden State in 4. No matter the results of anything else, Golden State in 4. Or 5, maybe, depending on if they play Cleveland. But yeah, Boston has done a pretty good job of containing LeBron. In game 1, he only had 15 points. And I think he might have had 7 turnovers that game. Marcus Morris did a pretty good job defending him. But game 2, he just went crazy. I think he had another 40-point triple-double. And it still wasn't able to get it done. Now, in this situation is where I just call the Cavs LeBron. Usually I find it really disrespectful to just refer to the Cavs as LeBron James, but in these situations, there you don't have any other choice. Like, this is just LeBron. Just going full out, carrying the team, fuck everybody else, this is my fucking team. I'm carrying us. And still not able to get it done. So I'm not faulting LeBron for this loss. And just because of, the coaching of Brad Stevens, the skill that, Al Horford possesses, and the way that he has been able to turn it to another level in these playoffs, the emergence and maturity of Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, and, getting pretty good. Well, mostly Tatum getting pretty good before hitting the rookie wall. Jaylen Brown is in his second season. Jason Tatum is the youngest player in NBA history to lead their team in scoring and make the conference finals. So that's pretty impressive. I've been a pretty big fan of Jason Tatum pretty much ever since he was in college. And when he came to the league this year. And, you know, if Boston had Kyrie and Hayward and Brown and Tatum were still playing at the way they were playing and Horford was still putting up the production that he's putting up, I would say Boston in 4. But just due to the lack of Kyrie and Gordon Hayward, Cleveland's at least going to take two. If they don't win the series, you know. Boston in six for me. I say LeBron is at least going to get the Cavs one win here in Cleveland. If not, they're going to get their two here back-to-back on the road. Well, Boston is on the road, if I can speak proper English for once in my life. And then if we can move on to the Western Conference Finals. Just the fact that James Harden is the MVP of this season. And sure, he hasn't exactly been the best in the playoffs this year, but he's also had somebody else that can potentially drop 40 points, 40 plus, 10 plus assists, zero turnovers in a playoff game, the way that Chris Paul has been able to. I think that, along with what we consider an off night for James Harden, which is like 15, 17 points and still a good number of assists and rebounds, and plus what Clint Capela has been able to do as the second most improved player in the NBA this year, only second to Victor Oladipo. I think that in itself, along with Steph still apparently not being 100% after his off night in game 2, they're saying he's still a little hobbled by his injury that was caused by JaVale McGee. But, if that's the case, then I think the Rockets have a good chance to push it to 7 and make game 7 pretty close, depending on what Steph is like in game 7. If Steph is going to continue to be off, and most of the Warriors' offense is just going to be giving it to KD and letting him play like Bernard King, then I think the Rockets could win it in 7. But I don't think that that's going to be the case. I think Steph is going to continue to not only heal, but improve and get back used to being used to the flow of an NBA game and playing it in NBA games and playing in playoff basketball. I think Steph's going to be fine, and the Warriors are going to go to the finals and sweep whoever wins the Eastern Conference. So if we can get back to LeBron, the things that he's doing now, and kind of as a collective, the things that he's done from 2003 up until now, 2018. For me, he's number 5 all time. Now, I know that there are a lot of people that want to live in the moment and say that he's better than Michael Jordan, or that he's the second greatest of all time with only 3 championships, and where is he in scoring? I don't know. But he's number 5 all time for me. And he's only behind. At number 1, there's, of course, Mike. For me, I don't know if I'll ever see any. I probably will see somebody better than Michael Jordan. Because humans are going to continue to evolve and get stronger and more athletic. And I think that there will be somebody that could dominate the league as good as, if not better, than Jordan could. I don't think it's LeBron. LeBron is his own thing. And he's top 5, for sure, all time. But I do think that there's going to be somebody that is just, that there's no debate. Like, there's a debate to be had between LeBron and Jordan. Even for people that want to say that he's undeniably better than Jordan, they look back and there's definitely a debate. I think eventually there will be somebody that is undeniably, even maybe have a bigger impact on the game than Michael Jordan. I think it'll happen one day. I don't know if I'll live to see it, but it'll definitely happen with the way that humans evolve. But Michael Jordan, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Kobe Bryant, and Magic Johnson, in that order, 1, 2, 3, and 4, are the only four players in my eyes in NBA history that are better than LeBron James. And I think when it's all said and done, depending on how much LeBron can still continue to win with the Warriors and the emergence of the Celtics and the 76ers, if he doesn't go to the 76ers, and just all these young teams, and if, actually I can talk about this now because it just broke tonight. If Phoenix decides to trade the number one pick for Karl Anthony Towns and Devin Booker and Kat become the next Shaq and Kobe, then they got problems. LeBron will have problems down in Phoenix eventually. But I think, I don't know if LeBron will ever win another championship. And I think the best he could do for me when it's all said and done is number four, maybe tied with Kobe for number three. I just don't know if I can put LeBron ahead of Kobe, ever. I probably won't be able to, because Kobe was the first basketball player that I ever admired, and Kobe is the reason that I ever even considered getting into basketball. And just the things that Kobe did, with and without Shaq. I just don't know. I think the best LeBron could do for me is fourth all-time ahead of Magic Johnson. And even then, it's going to be hard to do. With the things that Magic did, even as a rookie, came in, had to play center in replacement of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar as a rookie in the finals to win it. He's the youngest, I think he's still the youngest finals MVP in league history. I think Kawhi was close to winning, or being the youngest in 2014, but Magic was still younger. And even just the things that he could have done. I posted this on Twitter a while back, but I said if Magic Johnson never got HIV, Jordan wouldn't have six rings. But at the same time, if Jordan never retired, he'd probably have eight rings. So he probably would still have six rings, because maybe he wouldn't have retired. But then again, he got suspended for gambling, and that's why he retired. At least I think so. So yeah, I don't know. Just the things that Magic could have done, the things that Magic did, and the lasting impact that he has had on the game, even to this day, even as just the GM of the Lakers. There are still a lot of little pieces of Showtime still in today's NBA, and that's all thanks to Magic Johnson and the 80s Lakers. So yeah, there you have it for the NBA Conference Finals and a little bit of where LeBron could be all-time for me and his legacy. LeBron is definitely great, but I think just kind of the way that he's done some of the things have kind of not sat well with me. So that's why I kind of am hesitant to really put him above like these just amazing players, and trying not to fall into recency bias and even nostalgic bias. I try not to fall into that with Michael, but there's just nobody better than Mike. So yeah, there you go. We're gonna move on here from the NBA to the NFL. I don't remember who plays for who anymore. We did a couple episodes talking about free agency, and I just don't remember any of them because they were so long ago. and free agency was just like a blur. However, despite my lack of NFL knowledge, we're going to do some bold NFL predictions. And the first one is that the Seattle Seahawks will have a top 5 pick in this year's NFL draft. Getting rid of Michael Bennett, cutting Richard Sherman. It was probably some of the worst decisions that the Seahawks have ever made to me. I think just strictly kind of getting rid of them because they were too vocal is going to do a lot of damage to the locker room and kind of messing up that Legion of Boom that won the Super Bowl in 2013. Now, I understand that that was 5 years ago and a lot has changed and players have maybe regressed. But, I don't know. They definitely still have a decent team with Russell Wilson and Doug Baldwin, and then the rest is just complete garbage on offense. Thomas Rawls has been a disappointment ever since they tried to replace Marshawn Lynch with him. He's been a disappointment. Eddie Lacy just continues to go from not fat to being fat to being not fat to being fat again, and he's just let everybody down. Pretty much, he had, like, what, 2 good years, and then he's just been a disappointment. They lost Jimmy Graham to Green Bay. And their defense, Bobby Wagner is still one of the best linebackers in the NFL. KJ Wright is okay. Earl Thomas and Cam Chancellor are still great. Jeremy Lane is okay. But then I think that's about it. I don't remember if Cliff Averill's still on the team or not. I don't think he is. But yeah. I just think that with what they've done in the front office and just the fact that the offensive line is still awful, Russell Wilson still really only kind of has one above average receiver and no good running backs, and like I said, the offensive line is crap. And kind of what they did to Bennett and Sherman just because they were too vocal. I think the Seahawks are going to have a big falling out and fall into the top 5, maybe the top 10 in this upcoming NFL draft. We're going to stick to the NFC with this one and say that the Panthers will at least make the NFC Championship. Now, this is kind of barring that the LA Rams and the Philadelphia Eagles don't just go full God mode and meet each other in the championship, which could very well happen. But I think the Rams, despite all the moves that they got and how much hype they're getting, I think their over-under is like 10 for this season, or maybe it's higher. But Ndamukong Suh, I think, is in his 30s now, early 30s, and I think that's about when an NFL player kind of starts to fall off. Todd Gurley could have another year like he did 2 years ago. Jared Goff could continue to be kind of inconsistent, but he could also continue to be a total stud. I think that when it comes down to star big-name players on the LA Rams, the ones that we're really going to have to focus on this season are Todd Gurley and Ndamukong Suh, and maybe Aqib Talib. But I think the Panthers have a good chance just because Cam Newton could turn up at any time and start dabbing after every touchdown and giving the footballs to kids and dancing after every first down. Cam alone can, bring the Panthers to a decent record. And I think that after the past two years that he's had, I think Cam Newton's kind of fed up. After the Super Bowl loss and then the two bad years that he's had after that, I think Cam's just kind of fed up. And he's going to come back an even bigger monster than he was when they went 15-1. And they got rid of the vastly overrated Kelvin Benjamin. They traded him to the Buffalo Bills. I think he's extremely overrated and he's not that good. because he was injured that whole 2015 season when they won 15 games and went to the Super Bowl and honestly got the shit kicked out of them by the Denver Broncos. But when he came back, they kind of fell off. So yeah, my bad. I had to kind of edit some stuff there. I had to cough a little bit. But yeah, I just think the Panthers have a good opportunity, even despite Jonathan Stewart leaving, to kind of revamp and resubmerge themselves into a relevancy in that conference. So hopefully, I always wish the best for Cam. He's one of my favorite players in the league. And I hope to see the Panthers do well. I also like their coach, Ron Rivera. He's really talented. He's a pretty talented coach as well. And our third and final bold prediction. This one kind of all depends on Andrew Luck's health and if Blake Bortles... if Andrew Luck is healthy and Blake Bortles goes back to being a below-average quarterback as opposed to an average quarterback, the Colts have a chance to win their division. Straight up. Even though getting rid of Dante Moncrief was a stupid move, I think, or just letting him walk, and getting rid of Frank Gore, letting him go to Miami was a good move because he's probably going to have a bad year this year and then just retire. But I think the Colts have a good chance with Andrew Luck healthy to win their division, but it's almost looking like that's not going to happen. So it's pretty tough. It's pretty tough. But yeah, I think that's pretty much gonna do it for bold NFL predictions. If you're just skipping around the pod and want a TLDR, Seahawks are gonna have a top 5 pick next year. Panthers will make the NFC Championship. Colts have a chance to win their division. Those are my bold NFL predictions. They're probably all gonna be wrong. The Colts are gonna do awful. The Panthers won't make the playoffs, and the Seahawks will win the Super Bowl. So, there you go with that. We're going to move on to a little segment that I kind of stole from the NBA Plus Stuff podcast. My boy, Funky Diabetic, hosts that show. He's not really my boy, but I watch him on YouTube a lot, and I listen to his podcast, and I'm a big fan. I like what he's doing. I like his content. But we're going to kind of steal the segment. I'm going to be talking about some music that I've been listening to, movies and shows that I've been watching, and video games that I have kind of been playing in the little tiny amounts of free time that I have. So let's get right into it. We're going to start off with music because I fucking love music. I'm just going to give you 5 songs by 4 different artists. I got 2 by 1 artist. And this is not only just what I've been listening to, just to give you the 411, but these are recommendations as well. Looks like maybe the last one because everybody's heard it by now, but I still want to talk about it. The first two. are both by Toronto singer songwriter Daniel Caesar. Death and Taxes from his 2015 album Pilgrim's Paradise, I think it's called. Like I said, not fucking fact checking. And the B-side to his Get You featuring Caliuchis single Japanese Denim. Both these songs, I think, are extremely slept on due to the success of Get You with Caliuchis and I think it's called Best Part, and it's featuring H.E.R. or her. It's stylized as an acronym, so I'm going to call them H.E.R. But I think due to the success of those songs and Daniel Caesar kind of gaining fame off of that last year, I think a lot of his earlier songs, have kind of been slept on in just that whole, I think it's called Freudian album? have been getting a lot of the limelight and his older, honestly better stuff has not really gotten that much attention. So if you like that album, or if you like somebody like Frank Ocean, who I'm actually going to talk about later, you'll love Daniel Caesar. The first time I listened to Death and Taxes, I was just going to listen to Pilgrim's Paradise as a whole. But after I heard that song, I just couldn't, because that song just blew me away so much. I had to just listen to it almost repeatedly. The same thing kind of with Japanese Denim. I had to listen to those two songs by him repeatedly because they're just so amazing. So yeah, there you go. There's 2 out of 5. Three, the third song I'm going to recommend to you is a cover of Sam Cooke's A Change Is Gonna Come by Michigan rock band Greta Van Fleet. I talked a little bit about Greta Van Fleet on the last episode, which is like 10 million years ago at this point. So you might not remember it, or you just haven't heard it because, I don't know, weren't paying attention, or you haven't seen the Slappy Boys podcast on the Anchor app, and this is the first episode we're doing. So that would make sense. But Greta Van Fleet is, like I said, a rock band from Detroit who have kind of received a lot of shit in, like, the past year for sounding a lot like Led Zeppelin. Sorry. But, I think the comparisons are legitimate and very reasonable, but I think some of them kind of get pushed a little too far to where there's, like, they're saying that they're ripping them off. They're not ripping them off. Maybe on Safari's song they're kind of ripping them off, but other than that, they're not ripping off Led Zeppelin. They just kind of stylistically and almost sonically, because the singer does sound a lot like Robert Plant. I don't want to say emulating, because that's almost the same thing as copying, but they kind of resemble Led Zeppelin. They're not ripping them off, but they're kind of close. But their cover of A Change Is Gonna Come by Sam Cooke, which just by itself the original, is just such an iconic, almost groundbreaking song during the Civil Rights Movement in the 1960s. And it's good to see that. I think Greta Van Fleet did the song justice. Obviously, it's not better than Sam Cooke's version, because no cover is ever better than the original. Just straight up. Well, that's not true. But in like 95% of cases, unless it's like, you know, the Beatles version of Twist and Shout, a cover is not better than the original. Still, shout out to the Isleys and all them. So yeah, Change Is Gonna Come by Greta Van Fleet. It's very different from Sam Cooke's version, obviously, because Sam Cooke was more soul, and Greta Van Fleet is like blues, rock and roll, Led Zeppelin-esque music. That's what I'll just call them. They're Led Zeppelin-esque. I would definitely recommend that. The first time you hear when the vocals come in, that it might change your life. Anyways, we are going to talk about Frank Ocean now, like I mentioned earlier. The song Biking by Frank Ocean, featuring Jay-Z and Tyler, the Creator, not the solo version. I have known about this song's existence since it came out, but I didn't really dive into it too much until recently. Jay, we're just gonna kind of dissect the song from the beginning to the end, from who had the first verse and who had the last. Jay's performance is kind of almost like, some of it just feels like he's just kind of talking over the instrumental. But still, just the fact that it's Jay-Z and the things that he always has to say, it's just always interesting immediately, because it's Sean Carter and the legacy that he's left and is continuing to leave from the 90s all the way up until the fucking 2020s. It's ridiculous. Shout out to Jay-Z. He's probably my number 3 on my top 5 rappers. I have a lot of lists. I do a lot of lists because I get bored a lot. MF Doom, Eminem, Jay-Z, Kanye West, and then either Tupac, Nas, or Kendrick Lamar, whatever I'm feeling that day. But yeah, Jay-Z is one of my favorite rappers ever. Frank, his performance is pretty decent. The instrumentation that kind of switches when Jay stops and Frank begins. The acoustic guitar that comes in when Frank starts singing is pretty chill, relaxing. I kind of like that in my music sometimes. You know, the percussion is good. I don't know if that's all real or if it's Frank putting that in with a computer. Regardless, it sounds great. Tyler has the best verse by far. Pretty much for like the last 2 years or so, Tyler has kind of just been killing everything he does. There was the ASAP Mob feature a couple years ago on Telephone Calls. Flower Boy, just in its entirety, it was the best album of last year. Don't debate me. It was better than Damn. It was better than 444. And 444 was also better than Damn, despite what I said on YouTube. In that one video, 444 is better than Damn. So yeah, Tyler has just been absolutely killing the game. He continues to into 2018. I think he had a feature with Caliuchis that I haven't listened to yet. I want to get around to that just because I love Tyler. And he's just been absolutely snapping on pretty much everything that he hops on. If he hops on Wax, it's fire. So yeah, shout out to Frank. I thought Blonde was pretty bad, besides like one song, Pink and White. But Biking is good. Provider is really good as well. And I hope that Frank kind of goes down that path to where there's more percussion in his music, because just hearing Frank sing with just like a keyboard or a synthesizer and just other stuff like that, it's just boring to me. I like Frank, but he's not that interesting. I don't know. I just didn't like Blonde. Channel Orange is way better. But yeah, this new stuff that Frank's been coming out with is really good. Oh, and despite what I just said about Blonde, his cover of Audrey Hepburn's Moon River, that shit almost made me cry the first time I heard it. It was remarkable. So yeah, shout out to Frank, shout out to Jay, one of my favorite rappers ever, and Tyler, the Creator, as well. And the last song, I'm a little late on this with all the memes. Should we really be memeing on this song? I think Donald Glover kind of knew that we were all going to meme this song, and now that I said his name, you know we were talking about Childish Gambino. This is America. What can I say that hasn't already been said about This Is America? I'm not going to break it down at all. You should have seen the video. You should have listened to the song. The video's great, first of all. I'm just going to say that kind of as a TLDR thing. You know, the video is great. The video is deep, meaningful, cryptic, all this other stuff. You know, it has a lot of references and a lot of things that you won't catch on your first watching, so you gotta watch it like maybe 3 to 5 times to really kind of catch everything and kind of get everything that Gambino wants to express in that video. But the song itself, you know, I've never exactly gone to Gambino for, in his rap music, for like super spiritual lyrical miracle stuff. But just even the things that he brought on This Is America, with the Young Thug, 21 Savage, Quavo, Blockboy JB, and Slim Jimmy features on the ad-libs. I think that's everybody, but I'm probably wrong. Regardless, this was kind of a mixture of everything I would want from Childish Gambino. From his rapping, because the internet days, mixed in with his George Clinton, Funkadelic-inspired Awaken My Love music. Just kind of the chorus of the song. Well, is it really the chorus or is it the pre-chorus? The grandma told me get your money part. Is that like a pre-chorus? I think so. That's what I'm gonna call it. The pre-chorus is kind of adding in that soul and funkadelic inspired part of Gambino, and then the rest of it is just Gambino on some rap shit. And I really like the song, despite, people wanting to say that it's not all that deep, the lyrics are simplistic. It's not really supposed to be. I think it was kind of supposed to be part of the distraction. They got the trap song with all these artists that you're trying to point out who's, where, like, where's Young Thug, where's Blockboy JB, where are all these people in the song, and, Gambino's dancing with the kids. And you're trying to figure out what he's doing. He's doing the Blockboy JB shoot dance, and he's doing all this other stuff. And it's just all kind of part of distracting you from the chaos and the police brutality, and almost in, I think, a little bit of the murder that is happening in the background of the video. So, kind of with that as some context, I think the song is phenomenal and everything I would want out of Childish Gambino. Maybe a little bit deeper lyrics. And, less of like a trap inspired, just repeating the same lyrics and kind of keeping it extremely basic. But it's still a great song. So if you haven't listened to it, you live under a rock and you need to listen to This Is America by Childish Gambino, along with watching the video about 5 times. We're gonna move on to movies and shows. I've still not seen Infinity War because I don't go outside unless I have to go to work. I don't really have time to go outside. So, yeah. Over the past few days and weeks, I've watched Spider-Man Homecoming, which, I mean, I'm just gonna give a brief touch about these movies. Spider-Man Homecoming was really good. Tom Holland is the best Spider-Man ever. And I'd say maybe one and a half to second best is Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield. Who the fuck is that? Spider-Man Homecoming, phenomenal. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 was okay. Captain America Civil War was actually really good. I actually watched that before I watched Spider-Man Homecoming, and I was not sold on Tom Holland as Spider-Man. I have always been sold with Tom Holland as teenage Peter Parker. And just the awkwardness and nailing it down. But he kind of carried that over into the suit, I thought, a little bit too much in Civil War. But he improves on it in Homecoming. And I assume that he gets even better in Infinity War because the kid's only 21. But yeah, he kind of solidified his place as the best Spider-Man in these movies of all time. So yeah, Spider-Man Homecoming, really good. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, okay. Captain America Civil War, really good. Still need to see Infinity War, still need to buy Black Panther and watch that shit on my Xbox because T'Challa's my dude. I've been rocking with the Black Panther since, what was it called? Ultimate Alliance. Him and Deadpool were kind of like my go-to guys on Ultimate Alliance for the PlayStation 2 back in the day. I also watched episode 1 of Game of Thrones tonight. And despite not knowing exactly what was going on. Yeah, despite not knowing what was really going on in Game of Thrones, I thought it was okay. I think I just need to continue watching the show to kind of gain some context and start to really appreciate it. More, I don't know. There were a lot of naked chicks, and there was a lot of killing. So, just based off that very basic analysis of Game of Thrones, I think going forward I would really like the show. I was half paying attention and half appreciating the genius of Brian Wilson by watching a bunch of videos about Pet Sounds. One of the best albums of all time if you've never heard it. So maybe that's part of it, and I just need to watch episode one again for a fucking third time. I just don't think that you're gonna really gain a lot of context just watching episode one of a series where I have no idea what's going on. I know who Jon Snow is. If I can spoil the show a little bit, I think maybe the kid in the beginning, I think he might have died. So spoiler alert kind of there if you still haven't seen Game of Thrones, like I hadn't really until tonight. I know who Jon Snow is. I know the kid's name is like Brad or something. I don't remember, or Brett. I know that the queen looks like Margot Robbie, and she was banging somebody else at the end, and I think the kid either seriously the guy she was fucking either seriously injured or killed the kid because he caught him doing it. I know Ned looks like Triple H, and that's basically it. And there's this really creepy guy who's feeling up his sister, and I just felt uncomfortable just even watching that shit. It just weirded me out. But still, I think it's good. From what I could understand in my 75% watching Game of Thrones, 25% appreciating Brian Wilson with an assload of YouTube videos about his music. I think with time and gaining further context, I think I'm gonna really enjoy the show. So that's basically it. Preparing for Infinity War for weeks, even though I still haven't seen it. And Game of Thrones. I've wanted to get into Game of Thrones, that is, for a while, but I just never really got around to it. Another show I want to watch is Atlanta, but for some reason they're trying to make me pay for season one, but season two is free. So I'm not even tripping. Like, if anybody knows a way to watch Atlanta, please hit me up on Twitter @SlappyBoysENT. Just hit us up on Twitter. Let me know where I can watch season one of Atlanta for free. That'd be greatly appreciated. And we're gonna move on to games. So I play on Xbox One. I will be buying a PS4 soon, and I will be playing God of War, and I'll give you I'll talk about that on later episodes of the podcast. But I play on Xbox One, and one thing that they do is free games of the month. And one of them was Assassin's Creed Syndicate, which I think came out in 2015. And I think there's been maybe multiple Assassin's Creeds after that. Before playing Syndicate, the last and only other Assassin's Creed I played was 3, which I thought was okay. And then Assassin's Creed just kind of got stale and bad. But with Syndicate, I think it's an improvement on the series. I haven't played Origins, obviously, because money is a thing. And also, one of my favorite games that have been free on the Xbox, because I think it's so hilarious, is Super Mega Baseball. The sequel was recently made free on Xbox, so I had to hop on that shit. And it's basically the same game, with just, it looks kind of more like an actual baseball game instead of, like, you know, funny animated characters, which I think kind of takes away from it, but it's still fun to play if you're just bored and don't have a PS4 and can't play MLB The Show, which hopefully I also get that soon. I didn't buy 2K this year because it's fucking garbage and it's just money hungry. So I bought NBA Live. I pre-ordered it for, I think, $30 when the demo was out. I absolutely loved the demo. I still like the game to this day. Don't know. Just basketball games were kind of trash this year. I still kind of like NBA Live. I played NBA 2K18 for a while. All I played was Play Now Online, and that was fun using the all-time Bulls. Having prime Derrick Rose running with Michael Jordan was like the best thing ever for me. And I would dominate anybody with those. With just those two guys and the occasional Scottie Pippen catch and shoot, which is disrespectful to Scottie. We definitely do not tolerate Scottie Pippen slander on this podcast. Ever. That's just not tolerated. But yeah, NBA Live 18 is okay. The My Career is just miles above 2K's, which is just corny with the DJ shit and the person that you live with, the chick that you live with that's super dummy annoying. Online play is actually improved throughout the year. And the fact that I can still use my point shooter point guard and not really get used and abused out there. I think my guy's only like 6'1", 190 pounds. And I'm still able to play in games and actually have an impact. I think that's great that you don't have to, you know, be a LeBron James type forward to just have an impact in the game. And you don't need to buy a bunch of fucking currency and jack your guys' skills up all the way on day one to have fun. And I think that's kind of where NBA Live had 2K beat this year. And for me, that's actually pretty important. So there you go with that. Hopefully 2K19, because I think they still have the better flow in terms of gameplay and better graphics. So hopefully 2K19 is better, or Live 19 can improve on 18. And yeah, that's pretty much it for basketball games. Fortnite Season 4. I've barely played Fortnite anymore. And speaking of battle royales, Call of Duty Black Ops 4 is having a battle royale game, and I seriously am just considering not even breathing within 500 miles of a copy of Black Ops 4. By the time Call of Duty Black Ops 4 comes out, Fortnite's gonna be dead, PUBG's gonna be dead, there's gonna be some new trend, and Black Ops 4's Battle Royale is barely gonna get played, and they're gonna look stupid, and everybody's just gonna be burnt out on Battle Royales due to the longevity of Fortnite and guys like Ninja really kind of bringing it to the limelight, playing with Drake, having made so much money over Twitch with Fortnite. I think Fortnite is finally, it's on its deathbed. It's not dead. Fortnite's not dead. PUBG's dead. But Fortnite's definitely not dead yet. It's on its deathbed. I think it's running its final lap. It'll probably be dead by the summer. And yeah, just Call of Duty has just disappointed me with this news of the Battle Royale, because it's just stupid, you know. But anyways, yeah, I haven't played much Fortnite this season. I got the season pass just with the V-Bucks that I had earned from last season when I played Fortnite a lot, and now I'm like not even 10, level 10 or tier 10 in the Battle Pass. Probably not even gonna get the Blockboy JB dance, which is what I really wanted out of this battle pass, or the Orange Shirt Kid dance, which is something else that I thought was hilarious in Fortnite. That's what I always liked about Fortnite, better than PUBG, was that they actually like cared about the fans almost and kind of put in pop culture references that are funny. And just the fact that I saw this video of this wrestler doing the Take the L dance. It went pretty viral, actually, so you probably all saw it. But something that Fortnite did that kind of pissed me off was nerfing Thanos. I didn't get to use Thanos when he was actually Thanos-esque. instead of this nerfed piece of shit. So yeah, I think you only had like 200 shield and like 500 health. Like, that's stupid. It's fucking Thanos. He did what he did. I don't know what he did in Infinity War, but he did something. Don't fucking spoil it, you assholes. Yeah, Thanos is supposed to be overpowered. There's going to be a part 2 of Infinity War. Obviously, they haven't defeated him in an almost 3-hour movie. And he has the Infinity Gauntlet on in Fortnite. Like, dog, that's kind of the point of Thanos. He's OP as shit. So yeah, Thanos in that whole entire mode was trash. You really can't change my mind about it at all. And I think that's kind of going to do it for episode 6. My allergies have been acting up like a motherfucker. My throat hurts like a bitch just doing this. So I'm going to kind of leave it there. We'll be back soon. That is we. Hopefully we get Tim back on the podcast soon. And I'll catch you later. Peace.